We want to share, we've been talking about some areas of faith, about getting balanced in our faith. You know, as faith people, we believe God. A faith person is a person that just believes God. Now you can't really say you believe God if you don't know what he's saying. And so believing someone, you got to kind of know what they're saying, and then faith believes what they're saying. Does that make sense? And that's one of the things that's so important, because I know in our society, people talk a lot about faith, but I don't think people really understand what faith is. As a matter of fact, we use the term, what's your faith? And what's my faith? And here's my faith. Well, they're asking about what your religion is, or what brand you believe in. But faith is believing what God said. Whatever he said, no matter if it goes against your current circumstances, we believe God. There's a passage in the Old Testament that said, let God be true and every man a liar. And so when it comes to the Word of God, I believe the Word of God, even though my natural eyes tell me something different, that my natural mind, my natural eyes will tell me that my circumstances are bad. But if the Word of God says that I'm blessed, you know, years ago, I've had all kind of crazy sickness growing up. You know, probably the biggest was lupus. Now, I didn't know the principles of faith back then, but I do now. Thank God I don't have lupus anymore. But years ago, they diagnosed me with sinusitis, a chronic swelling of the sinus lining. And man, I had these bad headaches for a long time. And I had a surgery years ago to get rid of it. They basically kind of munched out some of the thickening sinus lining so I can get some breath in there or get some air. And so about a year and a half later, it came back with a fury. So I went back to my ear, nose, throat doctor and I said, hey, well, I want that surgery. I just came in and told him, I want that surgery again. And he looked at my films and he said, well, look, according to your x-rays, you really don't look that bad. And of course, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I feel worse than I did last time. What do you mean I'm not bad? He says, well, according to your x-rays, it just doesn't look as swollen as it was before, so I can't justify surgery. And so I kind of just shook my head, okay. And I knew, I thought, okay, well, if the doctors can't help me, shame on me for going there first. Now, I believe God, but at the same time, I was learning the principles of faith. Now, I go to my doctor. I go to my doctor for the purpose of interpreting the physical. Does that make sense? Is that logical? I go to my doctor to interpret the physical. I go to the Word of God to interpret the spiritual. You know, like Valerie said, 3 John 2, beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul, your mind, will, and emotions prosper. So I learned this through the Word, that if I prosper in my thinking, in my believing, then everything else will begin to come to order. And how many of y'all know the order in your life is wonderful, isn't it? It's nice to have your body lining up with the Word, your pocketbook lining up with the Word, your children, your head, you know, peace of mind. I've got plenty of friends in Houston that lost a lot this week, but I will tell you something. Their heads were still screwed on right. They were still speaking and declaring that we'll replace this. And now I try not to be real flat out just blasting, you know, a lot of stuff to a lot of people. And the reason why is because there's some folks that don't see that just yet, and you want to be compassionate toward them. But man, some of these guys that have lost everything, they're standing up saying that we know this was the enemy that did this, because all good things come from above. And bless God, we're going to rebuild. Now, for you and I, we wonder, how in the world can somebody think like that after having all that destroyed and having to go through all that stuff? And it's not over yet until the house is done. And that's going to take a long time. You know, last week we were crying over gas shortages, which really wasn't really there. But anyway, you know, my curiosity is sheetrock. I mean, how much sheetrock? Where's all the sheetrock going? Houston. And so anyhow, so all that being said, if we keep our, matter of fact, Isaiah 26:3, I will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. So in other words, in the middle of your circumstances, you can keep your mind on your circumstances and be consumed with your circumstances, or we can keep our mind on the truth of the Word of God. So we're talking about how in the world that we do that, because, you know, as people of faith, we might be there in certain areas, but in other areas, we're not quite there yet. Well, let me ask you this. If we're not balanced in one area, do you think maybe our faith is kind of unlevel and we may have to level it up? I was at a minister's meeting last week, and one of the pastors, matter of fact, from here in Fayette, just across the highway, he was saying, you know, he said, we have faith like Swiss cheese. We got holes in our faith. And we don't realize some of the holes we have in our faith, and we've got to start recognizing some things so we can plug them all up. You know, one of the things they always say about ministers and healing, they say ministers or preachers are some of the hardest people to receive healing, and the reason why is we have the tendency to think we know it all. Just because we get behind a pulpit every week, we kind of get that mindset, well, you know, I'm the one that's telling everybody else what's up, so I know everything. Well, it would actually be great for us to realize we don't know everything. I don't know everything. That's why I am still a learner. You know the difference between a Christian and a disciple? A disciple is one who is constantly learning. A Christian is just somebody who's saved. That's all that is. And so God wants us to be disciples, not just Christians, all right? Okay, so here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see in there, there's something about the not seen, right? You know, it's the not seen that we have the problem with sometimes. Let me give you the Amplified, the version of this, and the Amplified, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, faith is believing what someone said and not necessarily what's in front of your face. It's taking God at His Word. It's believing the Word of God, though you can't see the manifestation of it right smack dab in front of us. It's looking at your situation and seeing what your situation says, but you believe the Word of God anyway. You know, I have a friend of mine, I have a lot of friends that have received bad reports from the doctors in their life, but they stood on the Word of God instead of the Word of the doctor. Now, they did the stuff the doctors mentioned to do. Again, they're helping you with your body while you are helping you with your spirit. See, if our spirits get into order, our bodies will begin to line up. That's what the Bible says, at least. And so for you and I, we thank God for doing the right thing and doing the right things naturally. But again, when these people stood on the Word of God, it changed their reality. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, you have to be aware of things around you. And, you know, you're automatically aware of a lot of stuff. You know, we're in a society of awareness. Y'all know we got to be aware of everything. You know, if you Google, now I'm not about Googling all the time, but if you Google awareness calendar, you will find there is something every single day of the week that they're telling us to be aware of. But do you know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says that if your eye is single, in other words, your focus is centralized, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But then it says, but if your sight or your vision is wicked. Now, notice it doesn't say double, but it says wicked. Because how many of you realize double-mindedness is wickedness? Double-mindedness is believing our circumstances and the Bible at the same time. And you really just can't do that. We're going to believe one or we're going to believe the other. And so what God wants us to be aware of is what He said. You know, a lot of people feel that they, well, I'm a part of society. I've got to be aware of certain things. Or here's the deal. If you're dealing with something in your body, in your family, in your household, your job, or your city, a lot of times we feel like we have to make other people aware of, well, you know, I'm just making people aware because you ought to know about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious disease. Now, how does that help? If I had that disease, how would that help me by making you aware of it? Well, because you can pray for it. Yeah, really, are they really going to pray? And if I'm telling you is about what I have all day, every day, then really I'm not really believing for much myself. I'm just hoping that you would pray. And if I could just get one more prayer, if I could just get five people to send prayers my way. Y'all ever done that before? I'm sending prayers. You on Facebook, I'm sending a prayer. Well, I started to say that to a friend of mine in Houston, but then I said, wait a minute, trucks can't get through, it's flooded. But anyway, that was funny. Anyway, all right. It was funny in my head. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying this morning is it's not about being aware of situation and circumstances. It's about being aware of what God said. Because you can sharpen your awareness in every area. But the awareness that we need to be sharper in is the awareness of truth. Everyone say truth. Now here's the Phillips translation of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we can't see. Now that's almost an oxymoron, certain of things you can't see. How in the world? It sounds hard, but it actually is simple. And it's a word that was mentioned earlier today, and that is meditating on the Word. Meditate. Do you know, this week, a lot of folk did a lot of meditating. I'm not talking about the folk in Houston. I'm talking about folk up here did a lot of meditating. What did they meditate on? What the news channel said, what weather channel said, what the local news. They got on Facebook looking at all the different things going on. Now, let me ask this. With all the meditation we did we make anything better? It's impossible that meditating on bad does anything good. How do we figure that? But see, we just look, well, I just want to be aware of what's going on down here and what's going on. Listen, I had to make a point not to. Because number one, I have family there. Number two, I've got a lot of close friends of mine there. Number three, I had folks that were headed there. And so I don't want to be so inundated with concern. You know, concern is another name for worry. But you see, if we'll set our attention, or one translation in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It's not telling us to be ignorant. It's telling us there's a better way. There's something better. There's a better plan. And it begins with our attention. It begins with our focus. Because again, like Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says, that if our eyes are focused on the truth and the fact, we're double-minded. We're going to have double vision. And that's the last thing we need is double vision. Because how many of you know that double vision, you don't ever hit your target when you got double vision. You ever done it before? Tried to twist your eyes and shoot? And I've never tried it before. I don't want to waste ammo. You know, we don't waste a lot of things. We waste some things, but not ammo. It's one thing you don't waste. All right. So let me finish this Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith means putting all our confidence, or full confidence, in the things which we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it was, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that the world was framed by the Word of God, and the things that were made that we see were created by things that we don't see. So what we're talking about is growing our faith in the things we can't see. In John chapter 3, the story of Nicodemus, you know, we all know John 3:16, but it's the first part of that. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says, you know, Nicodemus is a preacher. He is theologian. He is a man of the Word, a man of the law. He knows this stuff. He was a religious leader, all right? So he comes to Jesus by night because he's a little embarrassed. You know, you're a little embarrassed, you know, because I'm the big boy, and here you are, just a carpenter's son. And evidently, you know something I don't, sir, because things are happening that we don't see happening in our little synagogue, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, so he says, hey, listen, I know that you're a man from God because you do things that nobody else does. And of course, Jesus, you know, he chit-chatting with him and it tells him, well, you know, you got to be born again. And so naturally speaking, he's like, well, what do you mean this born again thing? Can a man be born when he's old? You see, our minds are trained to be geared toward natural. And so all of us, if you think about it, our minds get geared to this natural because we live in the natural life. And so it's automatic. Everyone say automatic. It is automatic. It takes effort to start believing, thinking, and meditating on supernatural. You know, sometimes when I start telling people some of the supernatural things that God's done in my life and in my family, it's almost like that little puppy dog look where they tilt their head like that because it's so foreign to them. You know, I was teaching one time, talking at school one time about some of the things that happened in my life growing up. You know, my mom, you know, when she was pregnant with my little brother, she had him in over, you know, in her uterus, and then had a grapefruit-sized tumor in one of her ovaries. And then at 6 months pregnant, she went in labor and had my brother. And since they had her wide open, they went in to go get that grapefruit-sized tumor, which they saw 2 weeks prior on a scan, and it was gone. And so, you know, things like that, you know, my pastor raising three people from the dead, I mean, that just seems so far-fetched. You know, one day, you know, heck, even at our school, you know, our school president had a tumor one day in one of her breasts, and then next day it's gone. And so, but see, that is the norm for the kingdom of God. The problem is we don't expose ourselves to the supernatural. I'm not talking about super spiritual. There's a big difference. See, God's supernatural, but he ain't super spiritual. He's not spooky. You know, this week on, Destry busted me on Facebook this week. Yeah, I'm a nice guy, but man, some goofy-headed preacher gets on there posting some prophecy about some dude that's talking about, you know, it just is goofy. And so had basically saying God had something to do with the hurricanes. And so, you know, me and my nice self, I just want to strangle him. I just, you know, in the love of Jesus, of course. Of course. Of course. But then I'd have raised him from the dead and it'd be all good. And so he couldn't prove that I strangled him because he was still alive. No, I'm just kidding, halfway. But anyway, and so, but you have folk that they believe this guy thinks that every dream that he has is from God. You know, God can speak to you in a dream, and the devil can speak to you in a dream. You got to know the Word. You got to know the Word to know, first of all, what's true and what's not true. And so we're not looking for super spiritual. We don't want to keep our minds on super spiritual, but supernatural is the God we serve, who does good things, who does things that absolutely defy physics. It defies the laws of nature. It defies the laws of man, but it absolutely coincides with the Word of God. You know, honestly, it sounds corny, and I'll just say it real, I'll just tell you. You know, there's a story, true story, about Jesus in the wilderness, and they had money for food for 5,000 or 15,000, really 5,000 men and women, or men, not including women and children, but there was not enough food out there. Now, y'all know you could have $100,000 walking out in the desert with your family of 5,000 guys, and, you know, if they all had one child and one wife, then let's just call it 15,000. You could have your $100,000 walking out with your $15,000, you know, with your 15,000 people, and go out there, and you've got enough money for food. But if there ain't enough food to buy, it doesn't do anybody any good, right? It's like this week, we all had the money, but gas stations are running out of stuff. You know what I was believing? I was speaking this over my car. Father, if you could do it with loaves and fishes, where you can make things last and multiply, then you can do it with gasoline. Listen, can God do that? Well, you know, that just, you know, I just, you know, I was supposed to do, I was going to do a gun deal this way. I was going to trade a guy one gun for the other, and he was coming from Joshua, Texas. And so on Friday, he canceled. He says, well, you know, let's wait till gas stations get gas back. I'm thinking, you know, that's really frustrating because, listen, I can always get gas money from my wife, but I can't always get gun money from my wife. And so I'm not concerned about losing gas. I need to get this deal done before you change your mind and before she says, no, I want money. I don't want you getting a gun. I want the money from that gun. Listen, I believe God can multiply gasoline. Do we? Do we think he can multiply food? Stretch things out. How are we going to increase our faith in that area? By spending time meditating on what God did. You see, it's not normal. This Bible stuff is not normal. But non-normal is the way that you and I were created to live. Remember, we are called a peculiar people. A peculiar people. So there should be, listen, I know the peculiarity in the past has been corny. You're just kind of, well, you know, you're one of those Bible thumper Christians. You know, you're a nerd, you're a geek. Listen, I learned one thing when I was a teenager. So I didn't want to conform to nothing. I still haven't conformed to a whole bunch of junk. I wasn't going to conform. People still think I'm weird, which I am, and I'm glad to be so, because I don't want to fit nobody else's mold. But the realization is you can be yourself. You don't have to cram yourself into somebody's picture of what a Christian is. All you have to do is believe God. And the peculiarity that people begin to recognize is this. How can you go through a hard situation and still have joy? How come you're not scared about the economy? How come you're not concerned about this? And wait a minute. I thought last week they said you had some kind of sickness, and how are you doing so good today? Or how come you have that mediocre job, but you're blessed financially anyway? Because people think you got to get your income comes from your job. Man, listen, I'm telling you, God has a higher way, but we've got to start thinking higher. You know, last scripture we always talk about, and I talk about a lot, in Isaiah chapter 55, it tells us God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Listen, if God's ways are higher and His thoughts are higher and He wants us to live by His ways and He wants us to begin to have His thoughts, which His thoughts are His words, then do you think we ought to begin to get this on the inside? Find what pertains to our situation and begin to make this our reality? See, it's not about memorizing a bunch of Scripture just so you can say you memorized a bunch of Scripture. You know, when Christmas comes around, when I was a kid growing up in Houston, I had to memorize a big chapter every month, and one of them was the Luke chapter 2, the Christmas stuff, you know? And so Christmas comes, I could quote Luke chapter 2, the whole thing. And a lot of times when, during Christmas programs, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was when I was like 12 years old. I still remember that stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to use a lot of the Christmas, Luke chapter 2, except for the part that says, with God, nothing is impossible. But what I'm saying this morning is there's more in the Word of God that will change your life. It'll change your circumstances. If we'll find what we need. Listen, what is the natural reality that you're dealing with right now? Find the answer to that natural reality and begin to make this our reality. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, that chapter and that specific word, Word, W-O-R-D, the word Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You go all the way down to verse 14 in that chapter. It says, and the Word was made flesh, or it was manifest. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What is that saying? The Word of God is right amongst you. Right here. We know where the Word of God is. But if you will get it on the inside of you, if you'll meditate on it, think on it, if we'll think on it, that's what meditating is thinking. Part of meditation, the word for meditate, one definition is the word M-U-T-T-E-R, mutter. Means to speak under your breath. And sometimes when your thoughts are really loud, you got to speak a little louder. You know, sometimes your words, when you're confessing God's Word or when you're meditating on God's Word, you're competing with this right here. And so you begin to confess or speak out loud God's Word until this thing lines up with this right here. But what I'm saying today very simply is this. It doesn't matter what's going on in your circumstance. If you and I will begin to meditate on God's Word, it will change. It'll level up. It'll level things up. Why are things happening in my life that shouldn't be happening? Or listen to this. Why aren't things happening fast enough? It's real simple. It's because maybe I'm not meditating on God's Word. I would love to give you a better excuse for why things aren't moving in my life. Now, most people think that's embarrassing. Well, it is. But in my life, if things aren't moving like the Word of God says it should be moving, it's never going to be fault with God. It's going to be fault with myself not putting God's Word in motion by getting it in my eyes, getting it in my heart. And when I get it in my heart, it will begin to manifest out here. See, very simply, God's given us the authority and ability to get and take care of anything going on in our lives. But it begins with the entrance of God's Word. Y'all receive that this morning? Amen. Let's stand this morning.